Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
The following is a Breaks Media podcast.
You are now listening to the best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul, hosted by my daddy.
Welcome to the 95th episode of The Awakened Soul Podcast. I'm your host, CEO Hayes. And for any first-time listeners, make sure you go and follow the podcast that's at The Awakened Soul Pod. Also, go and follow our network that is the Breaks Media Network, where you can find this podcast, Socially Unacceptable, The Team Podcast, Technical Foul, Dad's Talking Shit, A Few Loose Screws, Extra Regular. You can find a lot of podcasts on the Breaks Media Network, but more importantly, each podcast is different, covers its own topic. You get every facet of the culture on the Breaks Media Network, but that's enough plug into that. For this week's episode, we have the unruly creatives back in the building. That is myself, Avery, BJ, and we are discussing everything from gender roles and the labels that are put on gender roles nowadays. And we also talk about how African-American men and women seem to get into a lot of back and forth discussions over who has it worse and for what reasons. And we kind of try to break down that narrative and speak more from about it from the perspective of us supporting each other. So it's a great discussion. Definitely you want to stick around for that one. But as any regular listeners of this podcast know, we definitely have to go into the mind of Hayes. That's how we start each and every episode off with. That's where I get my shit off and talk about anything that's going on my mind from the past week. So we're going to go ahead and get into our wonderful intro music. And then on the other side of that, it's going to be the In the Mind of Hayes segment. I'll see you guys there. This week in the Mind of Hayes segment, we will be discussing some things still in relation to Nipsey Hussle. So the gangs in Los Angeles actually put on the largest peace rally since the LA riots in his honor, in the honor of Nipsey Hussle. And this was just really good and positive to see. Nipsey Hussle was such a positive brother himself. So you really enjoy seeing positivity coming out of something that was tragic in his death. And, you know, this is something that he would have wanted. And we all know that Los Angeles was basically his city. He was called the mayor of that city, and they loved him. And that was what came through here, is that love for Nipsey Hussle. And I don't know how you can feel anything but positive of this. And on the Breaks Radio this past week, we talked about what was the lesson in the loss of Nipsey Hussle. And maybe this is it. It's that we can, when we do come together, it's a beautiful thing when we come together for a larger purpose. And me personally, like I said, just seeing that, just an amazing and great feeling. I don't know how you cannot, you know, not necessarily tear up, but not get touched by something like this. I wish it was all positive that we had to talk about in relation to Nipsey Hussle. While this was great, foolishness, of course, comes along. And again, to reference the Breaks Radio, we talked about Kodak at that time. We talked about Kodak Black, how he said he should be mentioned with the Pacs and Nas's and all that. And this time he said something even more idiotic. And this time it was directed at Laura London, who is the widow of Nipsey Hussle. And just saying how she's going to be out here single now and he's going to shoot a shot and just ignorant stuff like that. Of course, he faced backlash, which he's been known to do. And, you know, just today, actually, of this recording, Kodak Black came out and, you know, he kind of apologized for it. Not really. I mean, as much as you want him to do, but he also made excuses saying that people should have called him for it. Well, to tell him about it. And yes, I understand that you can call and reach out to someone rather than do it on the public forum. But at the same time, his disrespect was put out on social media in the public forum. So that's how the response came through as well. So I don't feel any type of negative feelings towards the backlash he faced towards it. And Kodak Black has been someone who's been shown to be mentally sensitive for quite a while. We saw the interview he had with Ebro and how that whole thing broke down. Like, and I said it on the Breaks Radio, and I don't mean to be insensitive about this, but Kodak Black is just not an intelligent person at all. He's young. He doesn't give a damn. And I don't even think he realizes some of the backlash that he's going to face for some of the things or how insensitive it is. And yeah, he's what, 21, 22 years old, I think. But that's really not an excuse. Like, you should. This woman's mourning the death of her husband, and you're talking about how you're going to shoot your shot at her and how she's going to be out here single and stuff. Like, nobody wants to hear that. And like I said, he faced the appropriate amount of backlash for it because it was just a stupid and idiotic comment. And luckily he did, as much as I don't think it was a straight out apology as Lauren London was owed in a situation like this. At least he did do something. So I do want to point that fact out, because there are a lot of people who wouldn't have even done the apology. But at the same time, Kodak Black, he needs somebody in his corner who's going to help educate this young man, because he is really going down a stupid path. And some of it, of course, is done to garner attention. But you would think that you wouldn't use someone's death or their mourning in a situation like that. That's at least my opinion. It is what it is. I know there are people who are not really necessarily defending it, but say you should kind of understand where he's coming from. And there is no understanding it, in my opinion. Not with this. I may be being too hard on it, but that's just me. But we're going to go ahead. We're going to get into our last topic.
Wait. Before we get into that, I wanted to do something a little different. Can we do that? Are you guys in agreement with it?
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, so you know how you have, like, in the mind of Hayes, tonight's going to be in the mind of Avery. So I got some questions for you.
Okay.
And we're going to start off fun and light, and then we're going to get a little deep. Okay. This first question is crazy because I just logged onto Twitter before we got on this call, and I saw that Hayes posted a similar type of question, and I was like, what the fuck? You posted, I guess, yesterday, earlier today, what if you find out your man sucked dick better than you?
Yeah, I saw that shit.
Right. So my question is, I seen this on Twitter earlier today, and it just got me to thinking, how do you men feel when you see other women saying, like, women eat pussy better than men? Does that bother you? Does that get y'all in your bag, ego? Like, what do you think when you see stuff like that? I know that's a
statistical impossibility with me, so no, I'm not worried. I don't worry about it.
I really don't give a shit either. I mean, I feel like ultimately, in order for you to say that, it has to be a pretty lengthy list of people that you've experienced in order to narrow it down to just the woman. Like, you, I mean, it's so many different people who do so many different things, good and bad. So, like, you would have to go through an extensive amount of people to narrow it down, period. So, like, I mean, I don't get caught up in that. I don't give a fuck who personally pleases you at all. I'm going to just do what I can. And if when it fails, it fails. Fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. You know, shit. Hey, okay. I can't. I think that stresses people out. Like to wonder if you good or bad in bed and shit. Like, that type of shit to stress you the fuck out.
I don't know why people let that shit stress them out. Like, I honestly don't. Like,
oh, damn.
Like, yeah. Seriously. It like, there's no reason to. Like, people worry so much about all that other stuff, and then that's why they suck at what they do, because you too busy worried about everything. Perfect your craft. Stop worrying about the people.
Hey, hey. And that's what I thought. Okay. That was a good answer, guys. Okay.
Fuck these hoes. Shit. Excuse me, queens, but some of y'all is hoes. Don't be sitting up here making no nigga feel bad about no shit like that.
Now, wait a minute. Is that your ego talking, BJ?
No, I did get a little irritated, but see, I mean... But that type of shit is fucked up. Like, that's just like, you know, a guy like, yeah, a man know how to suck dick better than a woman. You like, you know, hey, shit, who gives a fuck?
Well, damn, that went left quick. What else you got?
So, damn, BJ, I like it, though. I like it.
That shit irritates.
Which comes first for black businesses? Poor tips, poor service, or asking for the hookup?
Asking for the hookup.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know how black businesses do it. Why do we gotta ask for a hookup? Like, why do we do that? Like, why is that the first thing we do?
Because we showed up with no money to begin with.
Well, not even that. I think there's so many people like that. Once, like, you know, black people, we have to, once we see each other, it's like an automatic connection there. And they see a black businessman and they're thinking, well, you know my struggle. You also black, so cut me a break. Nigga, no. Ain't nobody cut me no break to get here. And it's so funny because, like, with me doing, like, my podcast studio and charging people now to, like, edit and do their stuff, like, there was this dude who reached out to me and I was like, all right, well, my rate is $40 an hour. He was like, oh, okay. Well, I'll do an hour podcast once a week. And I was like, all right, cool. We made the deal, whatnot. A couple days later, he hit me back. He was like, hey, so what if I only did 30 minutes? Nah, man.
Nah, it's $40 regardless of how
long. Nah, it's an hour minimum. That's on you if you only want to go 30 minutes. And I'm coming. I'm bringing my equipment and coming to your spot.
Right.
Nah.
Right. Run me my money, shorty. Mm-mm. Okay, that's fuck okay. That. So the next question is, how do you feel about gentrification?
That's a tricky one.
That's a whole different episode. That's a hard... Go ahead.
No, just something light. Like, BJ, you're in Detroit. I know you deal with it. I want you to answer this where you lived at. Was it Missouri? Not Ohio. Missouri. Was it Missouri?
Yeah, I lived in St. Louis.
St. Louis. So your answer, I want it to be reflective of there, not so much Ohio.
Hmm.
In my opinion, in the experience in St. Louis, gentrification is wrong. But at the same time, this is where my opinion may get controversial. Black people kind of allow it to a sense because we tear shit up. Then when they come in and rebuild it, of course they don't want to sell it to niggas because we tore the shit up. I've seen this shit happen so much in St. Louis. In St. Louis, it's a rotation. The black people go from the city to the county. It's like it happens like every 10 years, the city to the county. The black people move out to the county. It'll be nice as shit when they move out there. They'll tear their apartment complex, the subdivision, whatever, the fuck up. Then when they sell their houses, of course, these housing development companies buy it. And then they upcharge it so much to where it's priced outside of the range of black people. And then white people move in. Then the black people are moving all back to the city. The shit just keeps going back and forth. And at the same time, it's wrong. But we need to realize where we are allowing for them to have these spaces to come in. And like the moment you allow a company to buy one house on the block, that's just their foot in the door. Then they're going to be focused. Yeah. And they have the money and the time to wait out, whether it's your grandmother dying, whether it's you moving somewhere else, whether it's you losing your job. They'll wait that out, and then they'll buy that, and then they'll fix it up, and then we can't afford it anymore. Stop tearing the shit up that we got. Like I said, at least in St. Louis. I haven't seen it here in Columbus, but in St. Louis, that is the process, and Black people have a hand in why they're allowed to be pushed out of these neighborhoods.
What do you mean when you keep saying tearing it up? What you mean by that?
Okay, perfect example. So there it was, an apartment complex in St. Louis. I think it was originally called Sierra Vista. It was torn, like Sierra Vista.
Okay.
So it was known as the, if you got bad credit, if you if you own Section 8, this is where you move. This is a lot of people, that was their first apartment. A lot of Black people, that was their first apartment, Sierra Vista. So this new company came in, bought it. I think they put like $10 million into the complex or whatever. And they got a lot of the bad rentees out of it. And then they brought in new people. Now that apartment complex looks almost worse than what it did when it was here. They renamed it too. They renamed it Oak Park. But now it looks just as bad as right back on how it was before. Because what do? We see something new and shiny, and then we don't take care of it. Because it was rented cheaply, or not really cheaply, but they were trying to rebuild the image. So they, of course, couldn't charge the highest rent, even though they put a lot of money into the complex. So they let people in. People weren't paying the rent. People tore up the walls. People tore up the carpeting. They couldn't have a pool. Like, it was a gated community. So anything that got torn, it's not like you can say, hey, we just got people coming from the outside that are tearing it up. Like, the apartment complex itself looked like shit. The actual apartments looked like crap, and they tore it up because people did not care about keeping it, so to say.
Yeah, that's ultimately how it is in Detroit too. It was actually a system in place. I don't know exactly what it was called, but there was a point when like all of the suburban areas were trying to gain occupancy for the newly the newly built phases of their apartment complexes. And at one time what they did was they set the rent extremely low to get all of the minorities to move in so that they would gain the financial backing to continue the process of building the other phases of the complexes. And once they got the phases built, they would like skyrocket the rent. And by the time you end up deciding, okay, well, I'm not renewing my lease and I'm going to go back to where I ultimately came from, they've already infiltrated where you came from. So now when you go back to where you originally came from, you can't afford that either. You know, so we weren't really following, you know, the market per se to know that this was what was going on. And so I remember I called myself, you know, typical Black man thinking that once you get a little money, you move to the suburbs. I moved the furthest away from the hood as I could possibly move, almost to a point where my family was almost an hour and 15 minutes away from me in both directions, north, south, wow, east, or west, because I was just in search of that better life. And then finally, of course, you know, things fell through. I ended up losing my job due to the recession at that time. And when I decided to move back to the city, it was like the city was like, oh, well, $900 to move in. And, you know, all the utilities are not included. Like, it was just like crazy. And so you were like scrambling to try to find somewhere to stay. And they were just using the Black dollar to build, you know, their complexes up.
Yeah.
Because they know that that's the quickest dollar that circulates. Thank
you.
So.
Thank you. Like, and I think too, it's some of it comes from just not knowing. Like, when someone older in the Black community passed away, what happened to grandma's house? Everyone just kind of moves in and out of it, and Black people don't realize there's equity in that. Your grandmother paid that house off. There's no way that house should leave the family. Turn it into a rental property, turn it into an Airbnb, but keep that ownership Black. And people don't do that, and they don't realize. Like, for me, I'm 32 years old. I'm really just now starting to understand the importance of owning a house and equity and how that can help build your wealth long term. We're not taught that at all. White people, I don't even know if younger white people are necessarily taught it, but it's ingrained into the family. How many white people have had the same house, or they'll say, I was born in this house. My grandpa was born in this house. Like, we don't really have that in the Black community.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
It's hard to kind of build that wealth of education too, because we are the only people that I've experienced to frown on, you know, men and women for living with family. Like, that's ultimately how you build wealth. Like, one of the guys that I went to truck driver school with, he stayed in a house with his entire family for almost 15 years. And they had a, I think it was a 7 or 8 bedroom house. Him, his wife, his 2 kids, I think his brother, his sister, and their parents, they all split this house. You know, it was 2 kitchens, it was 3 bathrooms. And he was even telling me that they very rarely even see each other because the house was so big. I think the mortgage was like maybe at best at that time, like $3,200 a month. So you got to think, like, splitting that between technically 4 families in one house, that's still less than what you would pay in rent for your own house on your own. And then you're not paying all of the utilities by yourself. You're splitting those down the middle. So all you're doing within your family is building wealth. If you bring home a $1,600 check and your living expenses only costing you $500 out your check, you still got a nice piece of change to stack up to buy another house, find another cousin or brother to move in your stead to get that same process started. And now your family is just owning homes and all of them are just living together, building their wealth up. So like we don't look at it the same. We feel like if a nigga still living with his mama, oh, he tripping or he just not doing what he's supposed to do, when it's actually meant for that reason to build wealth. You know, most of the kids that go to college that are white, they don't leave home right away. You know, because they don't necessarily even have to. It'd be us that be like, look, you're 18, get the fuck out. Yeah. You know?
I don't believe in that. Yeah, I don't believe in that.
Yeah, I don't believe in that. Like with Bosnian communities, which is very prevalent in St. Louis, like their tradition is to just add another, another story onto the house. And that's how, so they'll keep adding stories and stories and additions to the house. And then you move out when you're ready. But like most Bosnian families, the first time the son or daughter gets married, they're living in just another story or addition built onto the house until they're ready to move out and own on their own. Like BJ said, in the black community, it's not like that. It's you're 19. You need to get the hell out unless you're going to, and even then, like how many kids like go to college and you have to put yourself through it. Your parents are just like, hey, you know, you ain't getting no scholarship. I got a couple thousand for you. Outside of that, you need to get out of my house and this is what you have. Like I understand why we're like that. We're conditioned like that because of generations. Uh-huh. Like most of our great grandparents couldn't really provide for themselves, much less keep providing for a grown ass person. But yeah, it needs to change. And I don't think it needs to be frowned upon depending on the circumstances. If you're 22, 23, 24 living with your parents, if you're still going to college, if you're just getting your career started, what's wrong with it? You're not dependent on, now if you're dependent on your parents to live, you're not working and they're still paying all your bills and feeding you, that's different.
I think I was a little stupid when I was young, though, because the only reason why I really wanted to be on my own is because I couldn't fuck my little hoes in private.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't really have no real reason. Like, when I'm being dead ass serious. Like, it was a point where, as a man, I wanted some privacy. I couldn't have no little kickback area for me and my little chick to go to. So, in order for me to be figuratively a man, I went out and tried to find me a little crib that I couldn't afford because, of course, I'm trying to impress the girl when she pull up to this nice ass little apartment with a washer and dryer in the unit and shit. Like, I'm stupid shit. Like,
you stupid. You was finessing her for some pussy. That's that bullshit.
Indeed, I was. But, you know what I'm saying? But that's like the stupid shit that we do. Like, we really, when you think back to it, you really think that everything that you do as an adult equates you to being grown. Like, no, you just in a rush to grow up.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So,
here's my thing on it, and then I just want to ask this last question. I think gentrification sucks because and I also think the privileged white people with the money fuck shit up. I feel like they move into these hoods with their Starbucks and their fucking Whole Foods. They get scared when they see a little bit of too many black people. Like, if you in the hood right now and you hear my voice, buy whatever you living in. Don't sell your granny house when your granny pass away. Just do what you need to do. And if you are going to sell it, charge them triple.
But you know why they do that too?
I don't like it. Like, you be scared. You be lost in a motherfucker. You don't want to ask nobody for directions because we black. Nobody told you to move here with your dog and your dog shit and your Whole Foods and your Starbucks. I take Starbucks back because I like Starbucks. But you know too,
it's fucked up because a lot of us can't fathom that, because I come from a family that when grandma and granddaddy passed, the goddamn kids was fighting over the house because we come from not having shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, you got like my grandfather, God forbid something happens to him, but he already has it written in the will that he bought enough property for them to divide amongst the five children. But the home that he stays in gets turned over to the state because he know they gonna fight over that house.
Yeah. And that was smart. That was smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So my last question, so we can get into the main topic. I'm gonna ask you a question. I want you to answer with one word and tell me why. Y'all ready?
All right.
Hayes, you go first. Being a black man is one word and why?
Amazing.
Why?
Because there's nothing more powerful than the black man.
Okay.
That's honestly what I feel. There's nothing stronger and more powerful than the black man.
Okay. BJ?
I'm going to say being a black man is misunderstood.
Mm.
It's a duality to it. You know, I think it... The reason why I say it's misunderstood is because when you tell the black story, you often hear a bunch of misfortunes. You hear the chapters, but not the complete story. And we don't emphasize how we come from royalty, how we set the standards and the tones for integrity. We're the trendsetters. We create the content. We create the culture. We do all these different things, but all you hear is they're gangbangers, they're killers, they're this. So, like, and honestly, the reason why I think we emphasize so much about how amazing we actually are is because for a while we started believing the shit that people was telling us. So being misunderstood makes us a lot more aggressive. We more in tune. We're fearless. We're taking on tasks and responsibilities that they tell us we don't fit in. Like today we have a millennial doing a country song and it's the biggest hit on radio. We got Jordan Peele introducing the world to what black horror looks like, and it's so many different things that we're doing that they say that we can't do. We're misunderstood as if we're incapable, but we run everything, we create everything, we set the standards for everything. And sometimes being misunderstood is good because we can let you know in our excellence that you got us fucked up. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I feel about it.
Those were good answers, guys. I want to thank everybody for coming in, tuning in to the Mind of Adrian.
Yo, what up? What up, everybody? You already know what it is. Scoop Grady along with the Petty News Report. Thank you all for tuning in. We got so much to talk about. A lot of things has been frustrating me. Speaking of frustration, Kodak Black. This idiot doesn't surprise me at all. Like, he went on social media and said he's willing to give Lauren London a whole year before making a move on her.
Oh,
like, granted, people probably been in her DMs like crazy, but people, like, Kodak is in the spotlight. You know this is not the time to do no stupidity like this, but, like, Kodak, I don't even feel sorry for the backlash that you're gonna get for this. Like, you put yourself in this situation. They already said they're gonna cancel all his music in LA, and I'm glad. They need to. His music wasn't good anyway. And, this is it. It ain't the time for this. I ain't got time for that right now. Not right now. He could have did this any other day, but just not right now, Kodak. Yes. Moving on. Future taking a picture with legendary Elton John, stating that me and my brother Elton John leaving the studio. Love is love. I don't want to really hear what the hell Future is making with Elton John. Granted, I'm a huge fan of Elton John. It's Future that's going to probably turn this into some drug-headed nonsense, okay? I don't hear nothing else about Percocets and Molly's, okay? I don't hear nothing about his baby mamas. I don't... Future falling off to me. I'm gonna be honest with you. He needs to come out with some real good stuff. I think he got Elton John in the studio high as hell, and they probably came out with some stupid shit. Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan takes a picture together with the fours up. Now, I hope this means that Rush Hour 4 is coming out soon or it's in the works, okay? I'm just going to be honest. I'm glad to see Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan doing work together because they make great movies together. Chris Tucker, only got one thing to say to you. I ain't no punk bitch neither. I'm ready for Rush Hour 4. I was ready for Friday, but I guess we're not going to get that. So I'm definitely ready for Rush Hour 4. This movie going to probably kill the box office. Like, it's Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan. You cannot love them? I don't care if they old. They could be 70. Make Rush Hour 25. It's still going to be nice. I'm telling you. And last but not least, the petty question of the week. If you know somebody is in an abusive relationship, do you say something or do you just say out their business? That is the petty question of the week. If you know somebody that's in an abusive relationship, do you say anything or you just mind your business? And that is all we have for today. Thank you all for listening to Awaken Soul. Be cool. And
I'm no punk bitch.
Yeah, BJ, you said it. When you were talking about that, you was like Pan-African or Black. Do y'all have a problem with, what do y'all prefer? Do y'all prefer to be called Black or do you prefer African-American or you just don't care?
I don't really think, well, first, I ain't gonna really like diss it. Sometimes I have issues with it because I think it's separatism nonetheless. Like, no matter how you slice it, like, you always trying to be like, you know, social, like, I guess social specific or like ethnic, I don't know what the word is, but to me, it's Black. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter how you slice it, it's Black. And I don't think that we should like take that much time and energy trying to like segregate the Blacks when we already face, I guess, a certain sense of it in the world, period. Like, we need to just be Black. We need to all just be what this melanin is. Like, it's strong, it's deep, it has roots, it has a lineage, it comes from royalty. We need to respect that. Like, trying to like isolate us in groups and stuff, like, I can't get with it. But again, I'm not fully educated on it either, so like I don't subscribe to it, but you know, to each his own. But that's just my position. I don't really like do all of the, oh well, I'm African-American and, you know, third, you know, like third world.
You can't even think of shit.
You know, you be meeting these people that be like, you know, I'm like 53.99% Cherokee. Like, who gives a fuck, nigga? You Black.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
what about you, Hayes? Because we all know Hayes is like 50% Irish. So what about you?
And that's the thing that's weird for me is like, I don't feel one way
is
about
this
it.
The show? Is this the show?
Oh, we recording. We've been recording, so this is...
Aw, nigga, y'all fucking up. This is not supposed to be on air.
So, I don't feel one way about it or another, to be honest. I mean, I feel like...
Nigga, man.
I feel like it's too many labels. The thing...
We on this bitch sounding ignorant as hell right now. I knew when this nigga gave his introduction, I said, oh, we record. This nigga finna have our ratings dropping like a motherfucker, nigga. They gonna be like, damn, these niggas.
No, but wait, y'all. Hold it up.
Oh, man. See?
Y'all fucking up, man. Y'all about to have us. Look. Nigga, we gonna be coons. We gonna be motherfuckers. Jigaboos. These niggas on their show sound like some jigaboos, nigga. They say they ain't black. Oh, man.
Oh, man. I hate you, BJ. I hate you, bro.
Y'all fucking up our brand, dog.
How is that fucking up the brand?
Because, man, this shit could get aired and they like, damn, these niggas just saying whatever. They don't give a fuck.
I mean, sometimes you need some of that sometimes.
Oh, man. The views expressed on this fucking episode. Damn, dog.
Forget it. Hayes, can you answer the question? How do you feel? What do you feel? Black, African American?
It doesn't matter to me one way or another. I think that, I mean, I'm black. I'm African American. In looking at it from like a more technical standpoint, is like, am I really African? Technically, people who come from Africa are African Americans. I'm just an American. Like, I'm black. I'm an American. So I think that I can understand it when people get up in arms about it, so to say. But like the whole Pan African, and listen, I ain't got time for all that. I'm black.
That shit loses me every time. You know.
And it's just like the same thing too. Like, I hate, and this may be where we lose from some viewers, but I'm just gonna be 100% honest. Like, I hate the term cisgendered. And the only reason I hate that is not because of to what gender anyone else feels like. Like, you can feel that. I'm not stopping that at all or hating on that. I have no issues with transgendered or anything. But just because you changed your gender and you identify differently than what you were born as, don't try to recategorize my gender just because I identify as what I was born as. Don't call me cisgendered. I'm a male. That's it. Period, point blank. That confuses me. Not really confuses me, but I don't subscribe to all that.
It's a book that I'm reading. I was reading, and it's the most difficult book for me to understand in life. And the name of the book is called Queer Virtue. And it talks about a lot of the ideals of how the LGBTQ have revolutionized religion and all of these different things. And I was noticing in the book how, when you know how we typically say herself, we're speaking in terms of what we believe to be the female. So we assume it's H-E-R-S-E-L-F, like how it's like in general, you know, pronunciation. But in this particular instance, they spell herself as H-I-R-S-E-L-F, you know, to imply that, you know, the transgender, right. You know, and like, not to say that I had an issue with it, but, you know, of course, trying to process something that, one, you're completely unfamiliar with, and then two, it's like it's developed its own language. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's really draining sometimes to attempt to even learn, because when you step in those spaces, it's almost like you just automatically ignorant when this is not our upbringing. Our surroundings didn't project these type of things. We don't see these things every day. So just in, you know, in those instances where a person will call you something and you say, well, that's not exactly who I am, they'll attack you. You know, they'll tell you, like, you know, you don't know enough, or you're not woke, or whatever it is. They'll like really attack you for speaking against these categories that they've developed within their community. And I mean, I desire to know, but I don't just subscribe to everything. Like, that's just not me as a person. And I ultimately try to learn, but it's just not easy. It's not an easily comprehensible thing. So it's difficult to just accept these terms. I still don't know what that means all the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm still trying to educate, but it's just difficult for me. I don't know how I'm going to get that information.
And I think it's important to point out the difference with, like, just because you don't subscribe to, or me, I'll use me as an example, I don't subscribe to being labeled as cisgendered, doesn't mean I have anything against transgender people or people who label themselves or feel that way. Like, I'm just saying, don't, just like you don't want to be labeled, don't try to label me to make it fit within what you want to be. That's my only thing. Like, it's right. It just like that same, you want that same respect as to be looked at as a man or woman, regardless of what you were born as. Don't try to now recategorize me to fit into the change that you want to make with your life, which is in your right. It's in your right to do that. If you wake up and you feel like you should be a man, who the hell am I? I'm not God. Who the hell am I to say, no, you shouldn't do that. But at the same time, don't now recategorize me for that. Like, that's my only thing.
And I'm going to add that, like, I have two brothers that are gay, and, like, one of them I'm really, really close to. And I asked him about like all of these categories and stuff, and he was just like, I think my brother is like 55, yeah, 56. And I asked him about it, and he was just like, sis, I don't know all these fucking categories. All I know is gay, bisexual, heterosexual, all that other extra shit I don't know nothing about. And he was like, I accept people for who they are. All this extra bullshit that they into, I don't know nothing about it. And like I was saying to him, like, I appreciated his honesty, because him being a part of the community, like even him, was like, I don't know what this extra shit is. But I'm with you, BJ. I feel like if you don't know, you're automatically either homophobic or you're labeled as something. And I do think people should take time to explain. And some people do, like to Kenya and, you know, different people. They explain what it is, but not everybody does. You know what I mean? And sometimes if you don't know, like, how are you going to understand?
Like, it's a guy that I'm like extremely cool with, and he's, you know, he's gay, and I consider him a brother, but like, you know, he and I, we hold each other accountable. Like, there's moments, and this is oftentimes never said, but like gay men are some of the most, like, how can we put, that's what it is. They can be just as misogynistic as the straight male.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just like some butch women can.
Like, you know, gay men call black women bitches just as much, if not more, than the straight male. But they don't get that same ridicule or that, you know, that scolding. So like in certain instances, I remember when we would go to work and he would be like, hey, bitch, you looking cute. You know what I'm saying? To some of the women at the job. And I'd be like, bro, don't do that around me. You know, and the simplest, most kind way, he would say, like, what, like, why does that offend you? Because ultimately you're still a man, and we have to hold our women to a much higher regard. Like, why would you address her like that? And then you doing it in a professional atmosphere. Like, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we do that, and we would like have these conversations. And honestly, our relationship is like a little bit more. How do you put this? Like, as much as we want to be like the people that hang out in public, we're so different to where we don't do that. We don't go out and, you know, hang out in public or go to like certain places, but we still have that same bond because we know that we're so like widely different that it would be a conflict for each other to be in our own personal spaces together. So, like, I think that we just have that understanding. But ultimately, like, when I want to talk, like, when I want to have, like, a straight-up man conversation, like, his sexual orientation never come. Like, you know, like, he's a person that, like, he asks, like, interesting questions. Like, he asked me, he was just like, you know, are you uncomfortable with embracing the gay man? And I said, no, why you ask that? He said, we don't understand the power of community and the power of unity for like black men, period. Like, so just to have that conversation of like, you don't hug with a certain level of like firmness, you don't have that compassion to like other. Like, I never really thought about that, because you have to understand too, like, as black men, we kind of keep our guards up. So like that brotherly hug is like to have our arm in between us. You know what I'm saying? You don't fully embrace your brother. It's still like you have to protect yourself against something when you're somebody. Like, those type of conversations are being had with, you know, men that have different beliefs and opinions. So I respect the relationship. It's just that sometimes he's a little bit too much for me to just say like, oh, well, yeah, I'll hang out with you on a Friday night. We can hit a couple of bars, have a couple of drinks, just be social like that. Like, he's sometimes just way over the top for me. And, you know, that's just like my personal preference is not necessarily to say I'm homophobic. I just have a very strict comfort level. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't fear the opportunity of him to take advantage of an instance where we together and he make a move on me. I don't fear that. So there's no reason for me to call it a homophobia. I just have a strict comfort level. It's right. Only certain things I can tolerate from, you know, a male. Like, I don't ultimately like the catty man, because, like, I've honestly seen men forget who they actually are, which is a man, and actually jump into a fight with some women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen it. I've seen men, you know, they homegirl get into it with another chick, and a guy actually jumps in to help his friend. Like, my nigga, I can't let you jump on no woman. You're still a man. Despite what your construct or like, you're still a man to me. You know, so that always gets tricky, because you say certain things and it's just like, oh, well, he's homophobic. Oh, cancel his ass. Cancel, change the subject. You know what I'm saying? Like,
why you do your voice like that?
I mean, I don't. But I mean, I try, like I said, I try to show love and I try to be honest, but like sometimes the shit just be a little too much for me. I just really want us to be cordial and harmonious as much as possible. But like when you start getting to all of these technicalities and it's just like immediately I say the wrong thing and it's canceled, you know, come on, bruh. You know,
and I'm trying to definitely cancel when they say canceled. You cancel all the way the fuck out. But I'm glad you said what you said, BJ, as far as you not being homophobic, because somebody could have listened to this. And I think that's what they would have ran with the narrative as is, oh, BJ is homophobic and all of this stuff. And I'm glad you said that. And I think with some men, the ones that are homophobic, what they don't realize is that gay men don't usually want you. Like, you be thinking they want you and they ain't even thinking about you. Like, it's on some old nigga shit. Like, yo, what's up? Like, it's never... they want that person. And
the
gay men
actually want the niggas that the straight men look up to. Mm-hmm. Like that one nigga, like you, like, damn, this nigga always fresh. Like that's the nigga they checking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like they not checking for your little bus driver ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck out of here, nigga.
I think too, it's
you
like,
ain't got nothing to offer.
And that's why it's important to like, people get too wrapped up in who people are sleeping with. Like, that shit ain't got nothing to do. It got, just like it didn't have nothing to do with you if the person was straight. Stop worrying about who people sleeping with, all that shit, and judge them just based off the character of the person.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yep. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. Like, it ain't mind your business. It don't matter where they taking it.
And it's it's always been like a difficult thing for me, because I tell people whenever I have like personal interactions, I had a brother in high school, you know, that tried to tell me he was gay at a time when I was homophobic, when, you know, I was living strictly by the church bylaws. And, you know what I'm saying? I had that whole thing on me. I was, you know, wrapped up in it. So like my brother actually tried to tell me, and, growing up, I was that friend that didn't necessarily care how the truth came out, because I felt like I was telling the truth nonetheless. So if it hurt your feelings, I felt like it was cool because it was still honest. So it came to a point where him, you know, realizing who he was and wanting to come out and express himself his, you know, complete way. He was so apprehensive to tell me because he knew my background and he knew how abrasive I was about the truth and how judgmental I was because of the church. And somehow, some way, I ended up finding out, which naturally I already knew, because, you know, of course, the mannerisms, of course, changed. Like, things were like painfully obvious. But it came to a point. No, what happened was one of the homeboys from school got caught at the club and the word got back. And just so happened, my brother was the one that kind of like verified, like, yeah, I was there. I tried to embrace him, like, let him know it was all good. But, you know, he ended up running out the club down the alley and all kind of crazy shit. And it was like a laughing joke in high school. And so when I caught wind of the joke, of course, I'm uncomfortable because me and him still hadn't had that conversation. So at that moment, he looked at me and he was like, BJ, tell me how you feel and keep it real. You know, put me on the spot in front of everybody. Like, tell me how you feel and keep it real. And I'm just like, look, man, you my brother. Like, I can't necessarily get with what you're doing, because of course, at this point, I'm sticking straight on religion, you know. Mm-hmm. It's an abomination and all this bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, man, you know, I can't judge you for choices that you make. Ultimately, is your choice. But, you know, there's other commandments besides that that tells you to love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what I'm going to stick with. So, you know, I ended up accepting it. We hugged it out. Our relationship got cool. And literally maybe 2 to 3 weeks later, he ended up dying in a car accident.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and it's a long story to that. I really want to talk about that on the episode because It was so much in between that. But like me and him have been in several car accidents together, like several. Me, him, and another guy, we used to always, you know, be joyriding. He was the only one with a car, and we would always end up in a car accident. But this is just the one that he didn't make it out of. And luckily, you know, me and the other homeboy wasn't in the car, but it was somebody in there with him. And when I found out he died, like, that broke me. And it made me realize, like, just how homophobic I was. Like, that nigga taught me how to actually love my brother. Like, he was the one, like, when I had my little girlfriends, because of his, like, his support system and the people that he was around, that nigga used to tell me the perfect gifts to get my girl. He was teaching me how to treat my lady. Like, all of this different stuff that he was showing me as a brother. But I was so stuck on his sexual preference. So when he died, that broke me. And I'm in the funeral crying like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit really don't be mattering once you realize, like, what these people mean to you. I've had a different approach, and I've tried to, like, unlearn, because the context of it has completely changed. It's not just as simple as saying, oh, I'm a lesbian, I'm gay, I'm bisexual. It's not just as simple. Now it's like, you know, pansexual and sexual, all these different. And you like, damn, like, what does all of this mean? You really like, what does all of this mean at the end of the day? And sure enough, it actually has its own meaning. But when you say you don't know, it's like, where have you been in 2019? You stupid motherfucker. You know, so I just like, I try as much as I can on my own personal time to learn, but it's not easy to, you know, be introduced to stuff like this.
Yeah. We sending an SOS out. Somebody come teach us this shit.
Why every time? Why every time we record, we never stick to what the fuck?
I know.
That's why. Like, that's literally why I only sent one topic this time. Like, when I said this to Avery, I'm like, it's just a jumping off point, because I knew we were gonna go. We ain't even got to it yet, so it's not even a jumping off point. Oh my god. Oh man. So if we can actually get into the topic we came here to discuss today, I don't even know how much time we're gonna spend on it at this point, but. So I propose a question that is, I personally see a lot on social media.
I'd be scared to go in.
Man, I dived in. Shout out to the team, because they posted something and I kind of dived right in it. But yeah, so like black men and black women going back and forth of who has it worse. Black men, of course, pursued by the police, fear of their life. Black women who say they also have to be fear of the police. Add on top of that being raped or sexually assaulted, and comparing back and forth who has it worse. And I mean, I've seen some drawn out day long arguments that got really personal and deep. And it's like, why are we sitting here arguing over who has it worse instead of supporting one another? That's my mindset on it. I figured this would be a good conversation because we have a queen on this panel as well as two kings and me and BJ. But Avery, we're going to go to you first on this one. What's your opinion?
Can I go last? Can I go
You want to go last? All right, BJ, what about you, man? Last. What you got?
Personally, I feel like who has it worse is we both have it worse, because like you said, supposed to protect each other. And yes, women, you have to protect men just as we are supposed to protect you. You have to have it can't be you're responsible for this, like the gender role idea, because we can't debunk a system that tears us down individually if we're using it against each other. Like, you can't point, I feel this way about black men. They do me like this. They do me like that. And then you're advocating everything that the system has put in place to divide your home up with. Like, I think that that becomes problematic. So all what is it from your opinion or viewpoint that you would have for me to do as a black man that will make you comfortable to partner up with me, and then vice versa? And that starts the conversation. But to say that, like, you know, we fear each other and we don't trust each other, we don't build with one another, we don't care for one another. Like, what do we have in terms of building if we don't utilize each other as a source for love and partnership? Like, what will we have? So I think that that idea of just saying, like, one has it worse. No, we have it just as bad. It's equally bad because we don't depend on one another. And I don't know if I, you know, I don't know if I explained it, but ultimately, I just think that we need to look at each other more as a resource than an opposition or, you know, a enemy or a competitor.
I like that. And I agree with basically everything you said there. My answer to this is, on who has it worse, black children have it worse, because they have to come up in a situation into which their father has to be afraid to be killed by the police and teach them that, as well as a mother who's traumatized by either the thought of being sexually assaulted, or living through someone else that they're close to being sexually assaulted. So our children are the ones that are affected worse by this. We shouldn't be arguing back and forth over who has it worse between men and women, because guess what? This dates back to slavery almost. They're trying to put us against each other. And the way that BJ said it is that this is just another way of dividing the black family. This is another tool in that. And it may not be an intentional one, but that's exactly what it's doing. You said look at each other as resources. That's the perfect way to explain it, because we are resources. We are resources to help each other learn how our partners are feeling, how our counterparts are feeling and what they go through. Yes, black women need to be protected, but our black men also need to be understood, because there is nothing. Don't get me wrong. I said it on one of my podcasts. The black woman is the most duplicated and underappreciated thing in our culture, period. But the black man is the most persecuted thing in American society, period. And so to compare those two is idiotic. We need to be supporting each other through this so that we can try to make it through and be unified in this. That's my opinion on it.
In the mind of Avery.
I think, you know, this is tough for me, because, like, I agree with both of y'all. And when I get questions like this, it always takes me back to my childhood. Like, and my dad has always told me that it's the man's job to protect, provide. I didn't know that. Who suffers the most is the children. Mm-hmm. Because the cycle just continues. The dysfunction still continues. And we still against each other. We still at war against each other. And everybody else is winning. But we sitting here fighting. Who's struggling the most? And we not, yeah. There's no progression. There's no nothing. And the kids are suffering. And then they grow up. And then they repeat the same cycle. So it's bad. Like, and we need to get it together. We need to get it together fast.
But I think what ends up happening too is when we take a step back and look at the lessons that we even learned as children. Like, I remember, you know, being told by men, you know, spiritual men in that instance too, that, you know, never need a woman for anything. Like, why not? Like, what's wrong with needing anybody for something? It's just being able to reciprocate is what the lesson should be. Like, being able to give what you expect to receive, being fair and being honest and being loyal. Like, those things should, like, have value to them. And I think that we're always so hell-bent about telling people how to make it without something, because we come from what is figuratively looked at as nothing. Like, how do you make it in this world without depending on somebody? Like, what's the reality of that? That means you either you're lonely, either you done fucked up some relationships. Like, it tells more about you than it does, you know, give you glory or accolades. You know, I can't stand to hear people say, I made it on my own. Like, no, you didn't. Somebody gave you something. It was some game that was handed down to you that pushed you to go after that goal. But why do you insist upon doing everything on your own? What are you afraid to give away? What is it that you're withholding that you don't trust another person with? Like, we have to look at each other as resources. Yeah. And it's just, you know, we grow up fucked up like that.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to share this because I know we got to get off of this. But I remember when I was, I'm going to say like 14, I had a conversation with my father about the same thing you just said. I was like, that was kind of like what my mother would tell my brothers, like, don't depend on a woman for anything. And then she would tell me, like, don't depend on a man for anything. And so I went to my dad and I'm like, Dad, like, what does that mean? And he was just like, you know, you're being misinformed. He said, like, with young men, you know, a father would tell a young man, don't need a woman for anything. And then he stopped and he was just like, if I had a son, because he didn't have any sons, he was like, if I had a son, I would be telling him, don't depend on a woman for anything, because you want your woman to depend on you for everything. You should know how to cook. You should know how to clean. You should know how to do everything a woman knows how to do, just in case she falls sick, just in case you guys have children and you have to be mom and dad. You want to be able to be a provider. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right. Context.
Right. So it's just, I believe that statement to a degree. Don't depend on a woman for anything so she can depend on you. It's nothing that you can't do. You know what I mean? If she got sick or if she wasn't feel like dealing with the kids, you can wash the clothes, you can get dinner, you can do all of that. So it's just like, I don't know. And people tell me, like, I guess it's different for me. I'm a daddy's girl. Like, I ain't believe shit my mother said. I always went to my father. Like, she lying, daddy.
So, hell no.
I mean, my dad always put me for a long time. And he would always tell me, Avery, love fearlessly. We men are flawed. Like, listen. Like, all of that. So it's just like, I don't know. I think it, you know, it goes back to how you raised and shit. So that stuck with me, though. So I just wanted to share that with y'all. So,
boy, this conversation here was all over the fucking place.
Yes, it was. But it was all good content, man. It was deep. But yeah, we hit a lot.
Right. We hit everything. So wait a minute, before we close out, let's get to the announcement. Hayes, like, how many tickets we got left for May 4th?
Ooh, honestly, I think we only got 20.
Damn, that's what's up. That's what's up.
Y'all better get these motherfucking tickets. See how I reverted right back? Y'all better get these motherfucking tickets, because I'm gonna be doing the Charlene. We gonna have some drinks. We gonna have a little bit of food. We gonna have a good time. Hayes gonna talk his shit.
Oh, yeah.
The most beautiful co-host, Earl, gonna talk her shit. Y'all better be there on May 4th.
It's gonna be some serious security in that fucking building, because everybody that I know that's supposed to show up, it's gonna be some cleavage. It's gonna be some yams.
Some all ass.
Type of all type of shit out. It's going to be a whole lot of security, because you niggas is going to be disrespectful and we know it. So please.
They're not going to be disrespectful. They're going to look and admire the beautiful titty rings, the ass, the thighs.
You niggas is going to be disrespectful. Y'all may not physically be disrespectful, but y'all going to say some disrespectful shit. So security is on deck at the event, and yeah, you don't know who they are, because they're gonna be dressed in all types of fly ass shit.
I'm gonna give this disclaimer too. What happens on May 4th in Washington, D.C., my second home, stays the fuck there.
Because the Cougars is giving up that pussy to the millennials.
That's what that sounds like. Oh man, we learned about Avery tonight.
In the goddamn show.
That's what you said to that young boy, didn't you?
Homer out there.
I'm done. Tell the people where they can follow y'all, man. If they even want to after this, we may lose all our listeners after this one.
Oh man, I know this show fucked up a lot of folks. They like them niggas. I thought them niggas was intellectual.
Listen, y'all can follow me, Avery, at People Talk Daily everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And please tell Hayes how you like this show, because I don't think it was bad. I think it showed our energy and our personality, our ignorance, our intelligence, all that shit.
They about to cancel Change the Subject after this.
Oh man.
But hey, I don't give a shit. Anyway, follow me at DergoBJ. That's DergoBJ on Twitter. I don't have a personal Instagram that I use, but I do use my show page, which is The Subject Change on Instagram. And I think that's it for me. I don't have any more social media outside of the Twitter and Instagram. So
you think so? You got hidden one. Never mind. You can follow me at CEO Hayes. That's at CEO HAIZE. This has been The Awakened Soul. Please don't cancel us after this one. Peace.
Send in some questions. That's what I want.
Send in some questions for the next time. We'll be doing this again at the end of the month. Well, who knows with Avery? It's supposed to be at the end of the month, but we'll see. So yeah, definitely send in any questions you want to hear us discuss.
Bye, y'all.
All right, I want to thank you guys for joining us on another episode of The Awakened Soul. Once again, you can follow us at The Awakened Soul or just Awakened Soul Pod, depending on where you're looking for us at. Make sure you go to TheBreaksMediaNetwork.com to check out all the podcasts that are on this network. You can subscribe to them, listen to them right there from the website. Leave any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, theawakensoulpod@gmail.com. For any listeners to this, make sure you also check out The Breaks Radio, which drops every Friday. So I'm at the top and at the end of every week with my respective podcast. So make sure you check that out with the host there. We're going to be finishing our Hip Hop Madness brackets, which is counting down in a bracket style tournament on the best hip hop groups of all time. So make sure you go there and check that one out as well. Again, this has been The Awakened Soul. I love each and every one of you. Peace.
You made me stick to the promise, man. You made me, yeah, stick to the promise, man. You made me, whoa, I will love you the best I can, yeah.
That was hilarious. Yes. That was funny.
That was hilarious. Yeah, nah. I hope you got that. Did you get that?
I did not.
You suck. Oh, you suck. You know when you get on the phone, you should just hit record.
I know.
No, you do it and you clean up.
Nah, fuck that.
Yes. Yeah, see, this is the side I want people to see with BJ.
Nah, y'all.
BJ,
good.
No, you.
Funny. Yeah, because BJ, he's so prepared on his like the thing, like, and I get it. I get because what he's doing, what he's talking about is serious, but like people don't realize BJ is an asshole. Like,
yes, an like, asshole, and got a
BJ straight got people convinced that he's like this, like. Almost a preacher, and it's like, look, do y'all not know BJ is a straight asshole? Like, don't get it twisted.
Asshole. He will curse your ass out.
Oh man,
that is not for the public consumption.
Why do you hide that so much?
I don't hide it. I just prefer not to. Like, that is That oftentimes is a segue into my worst self when I get to that point.
No, it's not.
Why do you feel it's your
worst
self?
It is. Like, you know, because by the time I'm already knee deep in it, it's no regressing. It's like you gonna catch everything. You gonna catch everything. Some of the shit that I probably like conceived about you that I wasn't 100% sure of, but just because I'm mad at you, I'm gonna just say it anyway. Like, I don't want to be that person. I really
we're
don't.
We're not even talking about being mad though. Like now, like we talking, we being laid back. Why that side of you? Because that's separate. You can be an asshole and not be malicious.
I have millennial pussy. Like,
no, I mean.